74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 50 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome in to the Gary Harris Show live at Innisfree Irish Pub for this beautiful Friday, November 14th, 2025. It's Fridays at the Free. I'm broadcasting live as I do every game weekend from Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. Come on by. Last week we had, I don't know, about 10 or 11 people that came by and hung out until they opened at 11. Just come by the side door over by the stage. Cole's already dropped in and just kind of hang out. They open at 11. Game day menu is on today. No lucky lunch since it's a home game, but the game day menu has plenty of good offerings, and of course they'll be open for business at 11 a.m. But as I said, if you want to slide by a little early, all you have to do is just come up to the front and come to the side door and come hang out with us. And we got it on over the speakers today. Can you hear it, Cole? Gonna be a little bit of a delay. I'll be talking before you actually hear it, but we're ready to go. Got a great show on tap this morning and excited. And by the way, tomorrow is homecoming, the homecoming parade. Innisfree will open at 9:30 tomorrow morning. They're going to open their doors early and be ready for the homecoming parade. So we're looking forward to that. We got a great show. As I said, I'll run it down for you. But first, as always, this hour, the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. Unlike a traditional banking institution, which is taking its profits to pay off its shareholders, Alabama Credit Union is taking its profits and returning them to you, the member, in the form of lower interest rates on loans and higher dividends. That's something we can all get excited about. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, or stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. Are the lineup for today, and it is a good one. Adam Amin, Fox Sports play-by-play, will be joining us at 9:30. Talk NFL, NBA, and more. Then at 10 o'clock, Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry, her team off to a fast start. We will join her at 10 o'clock this morning. Then at 10:30, it's the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard as the Tigers are on bye, but getting ready for their final two games against Mercer next weekend, and then, of course, the Iron Bowl against Alabama at Jordan-Hare Stadium 2 weeks from tomorrow. So good guest list. The phone line on the Gary Harris Show hotline, 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is that number. We'll get to some calls here in just a moment. First, though, kind of catching you up on what's going on. And last night, we knew that Purdue was really good. I mean, that's not anything that we didn't know. I think that the feeling was, at least my feeling was, that Alabama would win the game at home. I had it 88-83. And if I'd reversed those scores, that'd have been pretty close. Purdue wins it 87-80. They out-rebounded Alabama by a huge amount in the game. And Alabama hung in there, you know, made enough three-point shots. You have to give Alabama credit for being able to stay in it. It was tied, or Alabama was behind 82-80. And LeBaron Filon was shooting the front end of a 1-1. If he makes that, ties it up 82-82, and you get a feeling this thing would have went right down to the wire. But he missed the front end, and Purdue closed it out. They out-rebounded Alabama 52-28. And I think 19-7 on the offensive boards. You can't overcome that. I mean, listen, I don't know what the answer is. Alabama's got a couple big guys out. As I've said before, it seems like they just can't ever get their entire roster healthy at one time. But I know late in the game, when it was close, out of a timeout, I thought Coach Oates would at least bring in a second big, but he came back with the four guards and one big, and it was Taylor Bo Bowen, who's, you know, 6'10", but is slender. And when you had to get a stop and get a defensive rebound to have a chance to win the game, Purdue missed. They missed a couple of times, but they got two offensive rebounds and wound up either scoring a basket or getting fouled. And once they got up by two possessions, they were able to close it out. Is it a learning opportunity for Alabama? Sure it is. I mean, one thing we learned is if you don't rebound against high-level competition, you're gonna lose the game. And as I said, I think it's pretty remarkable, and it speaks to the talent of this roster, that this was an 82-80 game, basically back and forth the entire game. In fact, I think the 7-point spread at the end might have been Purdue's largest lead in the game. I think they might have gone up five or six a couple of times. Bama was down by two at the break, so they hung right in there. LeBaron Fylon did not have a great game. You get out-rebounded by a large margin, and you still have a chance to win the game. Now, that speaks again to how talented this team is, but it's still a loss. And when you're where Alabama's at right now in terms of this program, you know, you're not saying, hey, this is a moral victory. We were at home against the number one team in one poll, number two in the other poll, but you're number seven and number eight. You're coming off that huge win at Madison Square Garden on Saturday over then number five St. John's, and you come home to an atmosphere that felt like a late February SEC game with first place on the line. That's what it felt like last night. I only got to stay for, well, the first half and a little bit of the second half before I had to get back to the TV station, but the place was rocking. It was incredible, and Purdue came in there and did what they do. Listen, Matt Painter is one of the best coaches in the country. They are impressive watching them run their sets. It's precision. Braden Smith, the point guard, had 29. They are a team that, you know, if you don't play well against them, they're going to beat you. And that's what, you know, that's what happened. I mean, they just they played better than Alabama did, and they deserved to win the game. Nate Oates said that afterwards. Now, again, Alabama had a chance. And that's what's impressive about Alabama. Kaufman Wren, the forward, 19 points and 15 rebounds. We mentioned Braden Smith, 29 points, 7 rebounds and 4 assists. 7 assists as a point guard. It was really impressive watching them work on the glass and watching them run their offense. But Alabama hung in there. But still, Nate Oates was disappointed. We've got some Nate Oates audio. If we get opportunity, we will run that in a little bit. Thursday night football last night, the Patriots won their 8th in a row as they beat the Jets. Had to work to do it, but they got it done over. Mechie caught a touchdown pass, by the way. John Mechie caught a touchdown pass, former Alabama wide receiver for the Jets in that one. But the Patriots now, all of a sudden, not only are they serious contenders to win the AFC East, this is a team that has an opportunity maybe to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, they're playing great. So they won again last night, 27-14, but the Jets hung in there. We've got, of course, Alabama-Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon, 2:30 on ABC. Crimson Tide is a 5.5-point favorite. I'll have my SEC point spread predictions later on in the show. Also, of course, our Bama football trivia giveaway is coming up at 10:30 this morning, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. And this week, we're giving away another full-size Greg Gamble print, representing Alabama's first national championship against under Nick Saban against the University of Texas. It's got all the stars on there: Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram, Greg McElroy, Marcel Darius. All of them are there, and it's a beautiful print. We'll give that away at 10:30 in our Bama football trivia contest. So great show on tap. High school football playoffs enter the second round tonight. And let's go ahead and take our first time out. And when we come back, we're going to get to some phone calls. Corey and Trustful is going to lead us off. As I said, if you want to swing by, they open at 11 here at Innisfree. But as always, you're welcome to come on in and hang out with me and listen to the show. So we're ready to go here at Innisfree Irish Pub. We'll come back and take some phone calls. And we've got Adam Amin from Fox Sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. This is the Gary Harris Show, live from Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Here's what what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. It's homecoming weekend at the University of Alabama with a pep rally and bonfire at 6 tonight. Parade will be at 10 tomorrow morning and the game against the Oklahoma Sooners at 2:30. Bama, a 6-point favorite in what many consider a playoff qualifier contest at Bryant Denny. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for the latest West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Mary from the ATL has made it by, so we're going to have a nice little crowd here before 11 o'clock. And also, this note, as I said, Adam Amin is with us this week. He's on the call for Packers-Giants on Sunday with his new partner, Drew Brees. So we're looking forward to that conversation. Also, I want to thank Mary from the ATL for bringing me a Pepsi Zero Sugar 20-ounce bottle this morning. She knows that's my fave. And how about that, Cole? She brought me a 20-ounce bottle of Pepsi Zero Sugar, so I appreciate that. We got phone calls lined up. Let's go ahead and let's see. I know Robbie Glenn's in a hurry because he's got a little blood work to do. So let's go ahead and lead off with Robbie Glenn here, but we'll get to Tom and Corey as well. Hey, Robbie, good morning.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah,
I know. I wish I was down there getting some food and seeing Mary and everybody. It's always a good time in there. Just got to take care of some business today. Starting off with the basketball, it was disappointing. It was a great game. You know, saw some great things with Bama, and the crowd, like you said, sounded like it was amazing. I had flashbacks to San Diego State a couple years ago when you had some very physical older guys, San Diego State, and it looked like Purdue kind of just did that, maybe intimidated them a little bit, played a little bit more physical, and we just couldn't get in there. We weren't boxing out, and they were, getting those second shots like you were saying earlier. And when you see our bigs only have 4 rebounds, Sherrell had 12 points, but only had 4 rebounds. With that many shots going up, our guys got to have more rebounds, Holloway, I thought, had a very good game at the beginning, and then he got cold at the end, which happens. So we got to get those points in the box, and we just could not do it against those guys. But again, it was 80-80, and like you said, it was close. And if Allen makes that free throw, there's no telling what could happen there, but he missed it. And then it just kind of, the 7 points happened quickly, and we had no answer for it. But they will learn from that, and I think it'll make them better. I just didn't see the same energy as I saw against St. John's. You know, they were playing quick, but they weren't playing like they were as a group. Like, they didn't look on the same page. Reitzel didn't have his best game. He was off with his shot. Of course, Filon was off. But other than that, it was an exciting game. Had a chance to win it. Just didn't. Didn't get it done. But regroup. Because there's not an easy game coming up. I think their next few are pretty hard.
Yeah, I think we saw what you said, Robbie, come to fruition, and that is that in these big games against these really physical teams with inside presence, Of course, it's hard for anybody to beat Purdue, so I'm not going out on a limb here, but these are the teams you mentioned, San Diego State, as athletic as Alabama is and the way they get up and down the floor, but they can get bullied a little bit. They can get bullied a little bit in the paint, and we saw that last night, and it's something they've got to work on. Of course, they're shorthanded, too, and you'd love to get all of your bigs available to you going forward. But like you said, Robbie, and you're right. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, paint a pretty picture here. It was a bad loss in terms of being at home, but they'll learn from that game, and it will help them get better. And Nate Oates is going to pound, even in the press conference last night, said, you know what, you got to make a decision. If you're going to get outworked and out-rebounded like that, then you're not going to win. So it'll be good for them in the long run, but it's disappointing in the short term.
Yeah, it was. And like you said, it was such a great crowd, and I was hoping they got the win for them so they can celebrate, but it is what it is. Purdue is awesome. They are number one, number two in the polls, so, you know, it hurts, but they are a good team. And so this, like you said, got to get better, and I think they will. So now let's hope Bama football is ready to show up tomorrow and play a little bully ball, because, you know, they got bullied by Oklahoma last year. So same thing. They got to return the favor.
Yes, sir. Hey, Robbie. Thanks, man.
All right. All right, buddy. Roll Tide.
All right, appreciate you. All right, let's get to the sheriff. Tom, hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Gary? How are you, my buddy?
Well, we're starting to get a little crowd here at NS Free, getting ready for the weekend. Like I said, I like to kick off the football weekends early, before anybody else does. So we're ready to roll. What's going on, man?
Well, I was going to call and talk about basketball a little bit, and that was a good conversation with Robbie, and he summed it up pretty good. But, you know, last night when I was sitting there watching the game, it was a great crowd, by the way. I mean, it was rambunctious, knowledgeable, and yelling and booing at the right time. You know what I mean? It was perfect. And I couldn't help but think a point you were making yesterday, contrasting two styles of play. And Alabama, you know, they pretty much held their own. The score doesn't indicate how close that game was. And in spite of the deficiencies on the boards, we still had a chance to win that game. And almost did. And I thought that was – I kept thinking about the contrasting styles. But give Purdue credit. I mean, that guy has got a system – that is absolutely, I mean, I'm envious of it. Their front line was tough and efficient. And the point guard, in my estimation, I hadn't seen one that good in a long, long time.
He's the best. He's the best in the country. Braden Smith's the best in the country.
It ain't no doubt. It ain't no doubt he's number one on point guard. But, you know, the thing about it, when you got two styles like that, you got to figure out a way to control some aspect of the style you're opposed to. And Purdue figured out how to defend our tempo. And that just stood out to me all night long, how efficient they were at defending the tempo.
I'm with you. You know, they're a really good team. It's an experienced team. Great head coach. And now, like you said, I mean, it's 80-80. Alabama had an opportunity to win that game, which speaks volumes when you consider they got beat on the boards the way they did. And, you know, you knocked down a couple more shots, and you could have won. But as you said, if Filon makes the two free throws, makes the front end and the second, 82-82, it changes everything. It sets that game
it
up
sure
right down to the buzzer. But when he missed that front end, then they got a two-possession lead, then that kind of changed the game, and they were able to salt it away. And like you said, I think the 7-point margin at the end might have been the largest lead for either team in the game. So it was a down-to-the-wire
game.
Well,
it got to seven a couple of times, but okay, it didn't stay there.
Yeah.
It didn't stay there, believe me.
It was a single-digit game the whole way. So good effort for Alabama, not enough up front.
I'll tell you something else, too. They carried Filon. He got an education last night, and I think it'll help him, because I think he's got the competitiveness about him that he will look at that and understand how they defended him, and then he'll do something about it. But they were fantastic on defense.
Yeah, they really, really were. No doubt about it. Hey, Tom, I want to get to Corey. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a great weekend. All right, Corey and Trustful. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good morning, Gary. How are you? I'm doing good.
Good.
You know, you're not going to win many games being out-rebounded the way they did last night. I was proud of the effort, but when you look closely, you could just tell by the way the game flow was going that it was going to be hard for Alabama to win the game the way they were rebounding. I mean, every shot they threw up, that if they missed it, it went their way just about every time. Alabama was making a lot of threes, but it seemed like Alabama was depending on that to score points. They didn't really go inside and score twos, and they didn't get a lot of free throw opportunities. And there were times where we turned them over and didn't take advantage of it. It is unacceptable to get out-reamed and rebounded that way on your home court. Now, give Purdue credit for taking advantage of Alabama not being able to rebound. But if you don't fix that, you're going to lose to better teams like on our schedule, especially in the SEC. So that is something Alabama has definitely got to work on. You're going to see a lot more losses. And I'm not panicking or anything. I'm just saying that it's something that Alabama has definitely got to work on.
No, I agree with you, and they will. I mean, that's the thing about it. When you lose, you know, people like to use the term get exposed. You find out what your weaknesses are and the areas that you need to get better in. And as I said, too, hopefully they're going to get Bristow back, and maybe even Collins Onyeka-Ejiakpo will come back at some point. You'll have your whole stable of big guys up front and have a little more physicality, and that will help, too. But some of it's just effort, blocking out, getting a body out between the rim and the opposing player. So they'll work on those things, and I have no doubt that they'll get better from this loss. And as you said, that's what you want. You know, you don't want to waste a failure, as Nick Saban used to say, and that was a failure last night, so they got to learn from it and move on. What else you got, Corey? You got about a minute.
As far as the Alabama-Oklahoma game, you know, Oklahoma's won four out of the last five. The only one we won was the playoff game.
That's right.
I'm sure Alabama's looking for revenge against this game, but for me, a tough challenge going up against this Brett Venables defense. But I think being home, with homecoming, all the alumni coming back, I think this will be a good matchup, and I think it'll be a tight game. But look for Alabama to pull it out in the end.
Hey, have a great weekend, Corey. Thank you.
You too. Roll Tide, Gary.
All right, it's 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. Quick reminder that you're going to be eating a lot of holiday parties coming up. That's no reason not to work out. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you. The Y is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. It's just that simple. 2300 13th Street. Get on in. Get your conditioning level up, even if you're not watching your diet. And then in January, you'll have a head start. Don't wait until January. Go now to the YMCA Tuscaloosa. Great staff, personal training, fitness classes, daycare, all of it right there. Silver Sneakers program for seniors as well. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with Adam Amin from Fox Sports. He's on the call for Packers-Giants this weekend. We'll have Adam next here on the Gary Harris Show. Fridays at the Free continues from Innisfree Irish Pub.
Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship. Home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Saturday in the park on the Gary Harris Show. You know that means I'm about to talk with Adam Amin from Fox Sports, Chicago's very own, on the call this weekend for Packers-Giants. Is a really interesting game with his new broadcast partner, one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks of all time, Drew Brees. Christina Pink will be on the sideline. And good morning, Adam. I know you got to be excited to work with Drew Brees, man. That sounds like a great team that you guys are going to have.
Good morning, Gary. And yeah, we're very excited. We're very pleased that we get a chance to bring him in, and he's excited for it. You know, that's obviously half the battle. I've always thought, you know, you get, you know, great players who put all this time and effort and focus into doing a great job when they're on the field. And when you see that clearly translates to what they want to do off the field. And in this case, Drew Brees, who, you know, had a short stint as a broadcaster 4 years ago and wants to get back into it. And you can tell how hard this guy works at it. He's a delight to be around. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Our crew's really excited for it. So we get a good one out of the gate. We get to see, you know, a couple desperate teams on Sunday.
Yeah, you said a word. They're desperate. I agree with you. The Packers, 5-3-1 in a division that's loaded. They can't afford to lose any more ground there with the Lions and the Bears. And then the Giants, of course, we know Dable's out. This is a team that you look at their record, but it doesn't reflect, you know, you see 2-8, you think bad football team. They're not a bad football team. And in fact, had they won some of these games, they probably could have won and even should have won. Dable would still be employed. They might, you know, be in a playoff hunt situation, but they're not. And as Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are. Dable's out. Jackson Dart's not available. Jameis Winston's going to get the start. So I know he's fun in meetings, but as you said, it's a really interesting game, and it's a big game for both of these teams.
Yeah, I think for New York, you know, obviously, when you do blow the leads that they've blown, you know, they've had four double-digit leads that they've blown this year, including the last game against the Bears. You know, you saw it against Dallas where they had a lead early on and double digits couldn't hold on to that. You know, they had that huge lead against Denver. That's one of the inexcusable losses, I think, on the season. So, yeah, this is a team that, yeah, 2-8. Do I want to say easily could be like 4-6? Yeah, probably. Maybe could even be 5-7 and then would be a much different story around them. And then who knows how that affects the rest of the conference. So, yeah, I agree that this is probably not a 2-8 team, so to speak, based on talent, based on some of the great stretches that they've had. But they haven't been able to put it together, and you have to be able to put it together. That's the point of playing four quarters in 60 minutes. We all know that. So they are a 2-8 team, and they had to make the move. You know, I think Dable being out is probably – you know, the first of a couple of necessary steps. Now I'll be curious when you get to the offseason if Joe Shane is indeed in the midst to stay as the GM. Dave said, you know, John Mara, the owner, has said that, no, they like what Joe Shane has done. I think that is kind of interesting that they're not cleaning house, but they feel that just the coaching position is the spot that needs to be changed up because they feel good about their young talent, and they do have some young talent. I don't think they've drafted poorly. I don't think they've necessarily hit on everything that they've wanted to in the last couple of years, but I don't think they've drafted poorly. I like Abdul Carter. I like Kayvon Thibodeau. I like Theo Jones. I like some of the moves that they've made. And I love Jackson Dart. And obviously, it's disappointing that we won't see him. But I think there's a concern for Green Bay facing a team that is got a little boost of energy. Mike Kafka is going to take over as the head coach. He's a guy that's interviewed for a bunch of jobs. He's been the finalist for the Saints job. Was a finalist for the Cardinals job a couple of years ago that went to Jonathan Gannon. And he's been, you know, he was the play caller a few years ago when Daniel Jones went to the playoffs, when he took New York to the playoffs. He's been the play caller all season long. And Jameis Winston is your typical backup quarterback story, right? You throw a backup quarterback in that has a legitimate amount of starting experience, and those guys can get you some wins now. Like, mm-hmm. And Jameis is certainly capable of it. Like, he stepped in last year with Cleveland. They go out, they beat Baltimore. They go out on a Thursday night in the snow, and they beat Pittsburgh. He can get hot. He's about as streaky of a quarterback as maybe I've seen in my lifetime calling the NFL, and certainly since I've been watching it. And I think the Packers know that they don't have a ton of film on him from this year. They don't know how the system is going to look. All they can go off is maybe what, you know, Russell Wilson has done, because that might be a more similar scheme than what they were doing with Jackson Dart, who's obviously such a great running quarterback. Packers are concerned about this. Their offense has been bad the last two games in their little mini losing streak, and they haven't been able to generate a whole lot. And that's a concern right now, because if the Giants get hot and the Packers offense doesn't do what it's supposed to be doing and what we've known it to do for most of the season, suddenly it becomes an interesting game in the fourth quarter. And I don't think most people go into this game thinking, oh, well, this will be a one-score game in the fourth. If Green Bay does what it's supposed to do, they'll probably come away with a win, but I think this could be a much more interesting game with a lot of chess moves that are going to be impactful early on in this contest.
Yeah, follow up on the Packers, because you pretty much described their team. They went out and got Micah Parsons, you know, to make a Super Bowl run. And defensively, they've been elite. And I know that's a frustrating situation for Packers fans and for the team as well when you're playing that type of defense and you're not getting the results. And, I mean, you could argue that that Jordan Love's regressed. And Josh Jacobs, while he's scoring a lot of touchdowns, their running game has not been as proficient as it was last year. So offensively, they appear to have some issues. Can they get them fixed?
I think they can, you know, and maybe, you know, this Giants defense, which has been leaky at times this year, is an antidote. I wonder if that'll be the case this week. But, you know, so much of what the Packers do is predicated on the run game. It doesn't feel like that because we've seen Jordan Love put up great numbers. And for the most part, too, he's taken care of the ball. He hasn't done that the last 2 weeks, I think. That's been a problem as well. You know, against Carolina, he was a little sloppy with the ball. We saw that play on one of their drives last week where, you know, he ends up fumbling the ball, kind of killing a drive. So he hasn't been as sharp with the ball the last couple of weeks in terms of security. And we talked to him yesterday about it, and he said that's the thing I have to be better at no matter what. Regardless of what's happening with play calling and execution, like, I just can't give the ball away. And I do think the run game can get going. I think they're efficient when they're at their best. And we've seen Josh have good games this year. You said it. They're good at getting him the ball when they're in scoring area, you know, in the scoring area, and he can hammer them home with the best of them. He's one of the top touchdown producers in the league. But their offensive line's banged up now. They don't have Elgton Jenkins. They've had problems on the right side of their offensive line. If their run game, if their offense, I should say, is going to be good, if it's going to be the type of offense we saw in that Sunday night game a few weeks ago against Pittsburgh, it's got to be predicated on efficient runs. They have to be efficient on first and second down. Part of the reason they've been good is because they've avoided third downs most of the year. And then on Monday night against Philadelphia, all I'm seeing is 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, because they're not doing good stuff on first and second down. They're either not running the ball efficiently or they're shooting themselves in the foot with penalties. So much of the NFL and so much of football is a domino effect, right, Gary? Like, you run the ball effectively on first and second down, you set yourself up for much more makeable third downs, you extend drives, and that allows the explosive pass game to open up because now a team has to respect what you're doing on first and second down of the run game. It's a formula that's as old as football itself, is as old as the forward pass. And I think if they can get back to that this week, then, yeah, we'll see the Green Bay offense that we've come to know. Because, as you said, their defense, the losses that they've had, the three losses, 13 points allowed to Cleveland, 10 points allowed to Philadelphia last week, 16 allowed to Carolina the week before. Like, this defense is playing at a super high level.
This is such an interesting season, and I know Roger Goodell is thrilled because we got storylines everywhere. It's jumbled up, and we got a lot of 9-win teams, or 2-loss teams, I guess is a better way to put it, because 8-2, yeah, 9-2 with sure. But we got a bunch of 2-loss teams, but it's interesting who are the 2-loss teams and who are not the 2-loss teams. Buffalo's not a 2-loss team. The Chiefs aren't a 2-loss team. The Ravens aren't a 2-loss team. The Lions aren't a 2-loss team. So I'm as surprised by some of the teams that are at the top, but I'm more surprised by some of the teams that are right now. Well, the Lions are tied for the lead, but some of the teams that we thought might be elite, Seattle's a 2-loss team. I mean, you know, Buffalo's a 3-loss team, and New England's a 2-loss team. So it's a wild, wide-open season so far, Adam.
Yeah, the Colts are a 2-loss team right now as well, which is not something I think we would have expected with Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Broncos are playing great with their defense, and Bo Nix is finding himself well. And I think this is what the league is made of, though. It's not all that shocking when you think about it. I think I've told you this number before, and I may get it wrong by a year or two. I think it's 34 or 35 consecutive seasons that there have been at least 4 teams to make the playoffs that weren't in the playoffs previous season. And that's what this league is built off of. It's built off of parity. Part of it is the amount of turnover that you might see because of the large rosters. Some of it is how the draft system works. I mean, elite college players are expected to make a difference, and in a lot of ways they do. Even the non, you know, I think at times even, especially the non-quarterbacks, but if you draft a quarterback high and you make a good pick, suddenly that really explodes on you in a year or two. You know, that can really grow your organization very quickly if you draft correctly. And that's what the league is made of. I want to say it's 6 out of the 8 divisions right now have a team that's either in first or tied for first that didn't finish at the top of the division last year. Again, this league is built on parity. And also, it's, as you know, Darren, you watch it, you can make the same case for college football the way it is now and kind of its, you know, NIL and free agency era, that if you get the right guy in the right system, a world of difference. And, you know, I just came back from Berlin calling the Colts-Falcons game and kind of being around the Colts for a few days and talking to their coaches and talking to their players and kind of getting a sense for what they're doing and why they feel the way they do. And it's the match of, you know, the match of Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones. It's the running game with Jonathan Taylor, who he knew was a great running back, but this is the best year he's had in 4 years. So it's a lot of different things that kind of come to the forefront. It's a lot of different elements and a lot of different variables. And I think that's what makes for a really parity-filled league. It's a league that's based off of it. It's structured to be parity-filled. And the scheduling, you know, because when you're a good team, you're going to face other good teams the following year. And, you know, one of those teams has to lose. You know, like the good teams play each other, somebody's got to lose more often than not. So I think just the way the league is built and with the matchups like that we've seen, the matches that we've seen between coaches and quarterbacks, running backs and offensive schemes, defensive fits, like we're just in a league that's built to play out just like this. That's why it's so popular. That's why we love it so much.
Adam, did you enjoy Berlin watching the game on television? It seemed like the reception was incredible. It seemed like they really enjoyed themselves. How was that experience?
It was really amazing. The Germans do love American football, and obviously this goes back to the days in NFL Europe when, you know, mm-hmm. Frankfurt, cities like Rhein, and, you know, they've always had an affinity for American football. But just in the last few years, you know, 23, they played in Frankfurt. Last year they played in Munich, and I feel like responded well to it. I will be fascinated to see what the reception is this weekend in Madrid as they play an NFL game in Spain for the first time, regular season game there. But, you know, London, I think, appreciates it. I think they really enjoyed it in Ireland. And I think part of that was just the Steelers coming in, and the Steelers have this kind of Irish connection with the Rooneys and with how they embrace the culture. But I feel like in Germany, they've always appreciated American football, and it was a nice mm-hmm. reminder seeing 72,000 people in Berlin kind of respond to the game. And obviously, they got treated to, you know, one of the more fun games in the NFL this season. That was an absolute blast, calling overtime game out there. But they loved it, and, you know, I hope this game continues to grow because it is really cool to see. I'm convinced at some point Dubai is going to be a sight. You know, the Dubai is going to want a game. With how they've grown up, maybe Japan would like to see an American football game in the regular season at some point. You know, I do think that the global expansion of this game, what we've seen in Brazil the last couple of years, it's only going to continue, and that's good for business, certainly, but I do think it's good for the sport as well.
More than halfway through the season, and, you know, it's a lot of football left, but already the talk shows, the analysis shows are looking at, you know, potential MVPs. Daniel Jones is still, you know, leading the Colts, but he has slipped a little bit in his play. Drake May is a guy that's coming on in his second year with the Patriots, and what they're doing in New England. Is Drake May, if we were to say front runner right now at this point in season, would he be your front runner?
I think he'd be my front runner. I just think, you know, the part of awards is expectation versus reality. I don't know what people expected from New England and based off of his first couple of years in the league, what they expected from Drake May. So for him to take this kind of jump and to have the Patriots, who have not been competitive at times, you know, the last couple of years, last few years, since the end of the Brady era, to have them back near the top of the NFL, that has to be taken into consideration. And that's an easy narrative to be able to connect, right? Maybe Daniel Jones has slipped a little bit, but I'd also consider Jonathan Taylor. This is a Barkley-like pace that sure. he's on, what we mm-hmm. saw last year from Saquon when he ran for over 2,000 yards. And I think Jonathan Taylor is certainly worthy of a discussion like that to say he's been the most productive back. He's had a couple of rough games, too, and he's still on pace for a 2,000-yard season. So the fact that he's played and carried this offense as much as he has, I don't think can be overlooked. But I think May, Jones, certainly, I would consider, you know, a couple of other guys. I'm sure they'll pop up as time goes. But I think those are the guys that I'm kind of thinking of, just based off record. You know, it's the easiest thing to do is at least look at the success of the team and then who are the most impactful offensive players, because that's typically what we look at. There's not a defensive player, I think, in the league right now that has kind of done enough to hear the conversation. So it's probably going to lean towards quarterbacks and elite level running backs. And that's kind of where we're at right now, I think, in May, Jones and Taylor.
All right, being a Chicago guy, of course, you do the Bears preseason games. I got to ask you about Ben Johnson. He's providing the city with what they hoped they would get in Caleb Williams' progression, and here they are tied with the Lions right now for first place in the NFC North.
They are a great story. It's probably the first time in, I want to say, 7 years that the city has kind of felt the legitimate buzz for what the Bears are doing, and it's for a much different reason. You know, 7 years ago, it was Vic Fangio's elite defense that was winning a lot of games and taking the ball away a couple times every time they went out onto the field, and the offense was doing just enough. This is the first time in a long time, maybe certainly since I've been alive, I think that we look at the Bears offense and think, oh, well, this is an elite unit, and they're the ones that are carrying this team. And Ben Johnson has awakened something in Caleb Williams, you know, and I'm not shocked by that. You know, just the mind that he has, the detail-oriented nature, how, you know, he's drawn things up, how creative he is. We're starting to see some of the creativity in the Bears offense as well. They ran like a Philly special type play a couple of weeks ago. They ran a trick play last week. You know, they're starting to feel a little bit of confidence and a little bit of, I would say, conformity to the system. And I think it's looked really, really sharp. And do I think they're a little ahead of schedule? Probably. You know, I don't know if they're a playoff team just yet. Their schedule is about to get a lot tougher in the next several weeks. But they're in a position that they should be in. They should be competing to try to make the postseason. I think the Lions are still probably the best overall group in that division. But with Green Bay slipping a little bit, you know, Minnesota's up and down. You got a rookie quarterback, so to speak. I know JJ's in his second year, technically, but he's a rookie in my eyes. You know, you're going to be a little up and down, and that's to be expected. I think the Bears are in a great position right now, and it's the first time in, you know, the better part of a decade that I think fans in Chicago have been able to say that.
All right, real quickly, we mentioned MVP leaders for the NFL. MVPs named in Major League Baseball, Shohei and Judge, the two biggest stars in the game. No issue, really, other than if I had a vote in the American League, I would have voted for Cal Raleigh. I think it is disappointing that a catcher could have that kind of season and not be the MVP. I mean, it's not a criticism of Judge. I mean, phenomenal offensive numbers that he put up again. But for you, Adam, as somebody that covers the sport and does play-by-play, on Cal Raleigh having that type of history-making season and not winning MVP?
I mean, I would have voted him as MVP. I understand that some people might feel like it's strictly Judge fatigue. I can understand that. I don't want to take anything away from Aaron Judge. I don't think he's an unworthy MVP. He's certainly worthy of it. But I feel like when you do the type of things that Raleigh did this year to manage the pitching staff, you know, there's so much that he has to do day in and day out. And I think that how taxing that is on a catcher to manage one of the better pitching staffs in baseball, to have the type of run that he had. And then on top of that is the 60 home run. Like it's already valuable what he does as a catcher, what he does as a defender. You know, he didn't have a single pass ball until the playoffs. You know, he caught, I think, something like 17,000 pitches or something until he had a pass ball against him this year. So all the value he brings defensively, and then on top of that, to do what he did with 60 home runs, you know, most by a Mariner, most by a switch hitter, most by a catcher. You're passing guys like Griffey and Mickey Mantle. And you know, I just felt that was worthy of MVP. I don't disparage anybody for looking at Aaron Judge and what he did offensively. And yes, some of his numbers, a lot of his numbers were beyond what Raleigh did, even though the home run numbers weren't. I still feel like, you know, his OPS, his consistency, obviously the batting average as well. He's a consistent hitter and a threat, and he really is the most valuable Yankee. And there were a lot of players that contributed to the Mariners' success this year. So I get why you'd vote for Aaron Judge. My vote would have been for Cal Raleigh for the reasons that we just laid out. I just felt like his value was so immense to what the Mariners did, and for them to have the type of run that they did, he was instrumental in it.
All right, I know you got to get ready for meetings, and I don't want to keep you much longer, but I do want to ask you about the NBA. It's early, and we knew when the Thunder won it last year what they could set up potentially to be a team that could go on a dynasty run. It's, as I said, very early, but does anybody have anything for OKC this season? They look phenomenal.
They look so good, and it's a high chemistry group. It's a group that likes each other. That means they fight for each other on the defensive end. They're egalitarian on the offensive end. They want everybody to be involved. And at the end of the day, they have a star. They have the MVP. They have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I think that's such a difference maker. Like, you can have great chemistry. Again, I cover the Bulls. It's a team that's young, that has great chemistry. They all like each other. They're very egalitarian in terms of how they distribute the ball offensively. But they don't have a star. You know, they have some maybe future stars, but they don't have the guy where when things do get stagnant, and every great team goes through stagnancy each game, you know, a couple of minutes, a couple of stretches where things just aren't going well. Or credit to the other defense or credit to the other team starts to play very, very well, as teams are wont to do when you're talented. I just think the Thunder have all the elements, and they have this chemistry and this unit that really knows how to play together. And then when things go haywire, things aren't going well, you know what? Put the ball in the MVP's hands. Let him make something happen. He is a leader on that team. They've got multiple elite level defenders, a couple of, you know, all NBA caliber defensive players. They've got every element. And yeah, there are some teams that are going to compete. There are some teams that might be able to push him to the brink, but they are the runaway favorite, even in the early part of the NBA season. So I will be fascinated to see if it's sustainable after, you know, what they did last year. The target's going to be on their back every night out.
He's Adam Amin. He's one of the best in the business. He's on the call with Drew Brees and Christina Pink on Sunday at noon Central for Packers Giants. Adam, I appreciate the time as always. Have a great game on Sunday.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, it's 9:55, and what we're going to do, Chase, is just go ahead and close out this first hour of the show right now. So crank up The Cure so we can get out of here with our Friday first hour getaway song. And we're going to double up these breaks. And when we come back, we'll be in hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. And we will have Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry on the docket. So, Chase, can we do that? Yep, we can. There it is. There's The Cure. Friday, I'm in love. That's going to close out hour number one, the great weekend music. Another hour coming up. It's going to be so busy. Wrong song, Chase, or Reed, whoever's back there. Let's get The Cure. We're going to go out with The Cure. That's the first hour Friday getaway song. The Cure, Friday, I'm in love. Let's get that one. Not Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue. Here we go. All right, it may be Reed. I don't know who's back at the station, Reed or Chase. But anyway, Friday I'm in Love by The Cure is going to get us out of here. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry to kick off hour number two. Friday's at the Free, 1925 University Boulevard. We've already got 7 or 8 people in here hanging out with us. Come on by. Get ready for the opening at 11 a.m. and get you some great food on that game day menu. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the way. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after...
where you pick it up and we'll work it out. Select models with approved credit plus tax registration and fees. $16.67 per thousand. Finance for 60 months. See delivery details. Expires month end.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's my Chauncey Bolaños.
The New England Patriots have won 8 in a row after taking down the Jets 27-14. Drake May led the way, completing 25 of 34 passes for 281 yards and a touchdown that went to Travion Henderson, who also had 2 touchdowns on the ground. Justin Fields completed 15 of 26 passes for 116 yards and a touchdown. He also had 11 carries for 67 yards and a touchdown.
Not good enough. We lost the game, so it wasn't good enough. Every time we lose, my performance isn't good enough.
New England improves to 9-2. New York falls to 2-8. In the NBA, the Raptors outscored the Cavaliers 126-113. Scotty Barnes had 28 points, 10 rebounds. The Hawks topped the Jazz 132-122, where Jalen Johnson had 31 points, 18 rebounds.
And other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2, the Gary Harris Show, live from Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. Fridays at the Free, the TGIF edition. And we got a good crowd of folks here already hanging out with us, waiting for Innisfree to open at 11 a.m. The game day menu is on tap. No lucky lunch meat in 3 because of the fact that it's a home weekend. But still plenty of great food and beverages available beginning at 11 a.m. But if you want to slide by a little early, just come in that side door over here by the stage. You can hang out with me. And like I said, we got 10, 11 people in here already. Right now, we're jumping out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcoming in the head coach of the Alabama women's basketball team, Christy Curry. Off to a fast start, 3-0 at home again on Monday against Alabama A&M at 6 o'clock. And good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Roll Tide Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, I know you got your team to coach, but, boy, what a game last night. What an atmosphere for Alabama and Purdue last night at the Coleman Coliseum. That was some kind of special November basketball game.
It really was. You know, I had the chance to be at Purdue for 7 years, and I understand how important basketball is there. And I thought Alabama really showed out last night that we're a basketball school, too. And what a great game. Those games are going to prepare our guys for January. And, you know, I'm really excited about Nate's team. They did a great job. I know it was a tough loss, but, man, so many positives to take away from that level of game. That time of year is only just a great learning opportunity.
Learning opportunities, what you coaches are all about, and so far you've been able to learn about your team with 3 wins, including a blowout most recently on Monday against Alcorn, 92-39. So just 3 games in, got a lot of games coming up here in the next couple of weeks. How do you feel about your club right now?
Yeah, we're excited. You know, I feel like we're really making some progress. We've had a great week of practice to really refine some things and work on Alabama, and it's going to be a great 2-game swing before we head out on Saturday to go play a really good Harvard team. So, you know, Monday at 6, Wednesday at 6, really excited, and I hope our fan base will come out and support.
What are you looking for in these, and we talked a little bit about this last week, but in these early season pre-conference games, most of them at home, is it a chance just to kind of mold your team and with the idea of, you know, we're going to look at different combinations, we're going to play a lot of players, or at the same time, you know, you want to be ready when the SEC schedule comes along. What are you looking to get out of these games here early this season?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be great for us because even when you schedule your preseason games, you're thinking about system and style of play. You know, an Alabama A&M team that, you know, has consistently competed to win their league, and we were fortunate to go up there last season. You know, they're going to really pressure you. They're going to press you. You know, they're going to be physical and a really transition-oriented team, which prepares you for the SEC. And then you turn around on a Wednesday night and you play a really well-coached Samford team by Matt Wise that was our, you know, director of ops, and then our former point guard that led us back to the first NCAA tournament in 20 years, Hannah Barber's on that staff. They run a lot of ball screen actions, very disciplined offensively. So especially headed into a Harvard team, that's a combination of both of those. It's going to be great for us to be able to, you know, have those learning opportunities, continue to get better. And I think, too, it's really helping us right now, Gary, to get some folks back healthy and be able to play some different combinations. And you know, there's nothing, you can't simulate game environments. So we have so many new faces blended with some older faces that we need more game minutes, the lights on, uniforms on, and be good for us.
Speaking of new faces, and she wasn't able to play in the first game, but your highly touted freshman, Ace Austin, getting integrated now into the lineup and had a really nice game against Alcorn.
Yeah, I mean, she comes off the bench, brings a lot of energy, you know, does a really nice job of settling in quickly. I mean, she's just the consummate floor general, you know, and I see her and Diana on the floor a lot together. I mean, she's doing a really nice job. She shot the ball really well this week. I think that's going to be an area that we'll continue to see her be able to make some shots. And, you know, but she's such a great, great floor general. Communication's really improved. Starting to understand the system, style of play, you know, getting everybody to their spots and just an extension of our staff. And if you got to come out and see her. She's a lot of fun to watch with the basketball in her hands, and she'll continue to get better. I mean, you know, it's hard on freshmen, and come January, it'll be an eye-opening experience. But I think she just is, she's played at a high level in the summers on the Nike circuit. You know, everybody keeps talking about 1A school. They haven't seen her in the summers against the best in the country. So she's prepared, you know, for what lies ahead, and we'll continue to help her make the transition as quickly as we can.
Last year's team, in addition to being very talented, you had incredible leadership with Sarah Ashley, Aaliyah, others. And so when you lose, you know, the caliber of players that you lost from that roster last year, I know you're looking to, you know, fill in the gaps for that talent loss, but also in terms of leadership. Is Carly Weathers that player? I mean, who are you looking to be leaders for you on this team? Or do you even try to worry about that? Do you let the leaders kind of come to the forefront on their own? Or do you look for leadership from certain players? What's your philosophy on that?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think it has to be organic and evolves, and it evolves in the summer. So fortunate to be here with all of them in the summers, having that opportunity to get a step ahead, building that chemistry, you know, seeing who those voices are really going to be. I think age doesn't necessarily define leadership. So, you know, I've seen Carly and Jessica Timmons, Essence Cody, really step up. And, you know, we have leadership meetings with those three regularly. Their thoughts on how we do this, how we do that. What's the heartbeat? You know, what are you thinking? And so I think you have to, you know, to be able to be a leader, you have to give them some ownership. And so I think those conversations that, you know, that I have with them regularly, that, you know, that they have really evolved, those three. I see Ace Austin and Diana Collins evolving too, though, lately. So I think your backcourt always has to have a voice. So it's going to come by committee like it always has. And I feel really good about those three because they had some great role models in Aaliyah and SA to watch. You know, Aaliyah and SA have practiced with us this week. They're in workouts daily with Coach Kelly. They're around the program. So I think the tips and pointers and the fact that they can, you know, speak and be around has really, really been valuable as well.
Coach, we mentioned that electric atmosphere last night for the men's game and what you've been able to do in terms of building the fan base. When you got here, you were playing the games actually over in Foster, and it's taken a while, but last year the attendance, the fan excitement at the games was unbelievable. And I want to just ask you to comment on, you know, what you've been able to do as the head coach, not just in terms of making the product better on the floor and more competitive in NCAA tournaments and you know, battling the top teams in the SEC, but building the excitement from the fan base back. You know, it was here with Rick Moody, but after that, there was a period where women's basketball was an afterthought. I know you're proud of that, but I know you also feel like there's still more work to be done in terms of the home court atmosphere to match what you go up against when you're on the road in this league.
No doubt. It gives you a home court advantage. I say you walk in, you know, any home court in the SEC down 10. So what that provides for us is just such a great advantage. I mean, you know, it really, you know, infuses our team with a lot of energy and passion. And we need this fan base to continue to come out and support us and let's grow. And, you know, anytime we can speak, anytime we can give back, anytime we can be out and about, anytime we can be sharing, dropping posters off, share and talk in church, any restaurant. I mean, we're working. But we need this fan base to come out and support this team. They've worked way too hard. We've built this thing, you know, from, like you said, when it was really dismal to where we're at now. And I think the next step is for folks to continue to come out and support us. And it makes a big difference. You know, Monday night, we've got our Bama salute game. You know, if you're military, you get in free. It's going to be a really special night to recognize our military, especially here around Veterans Day. You know, Essence Cody is a member of the Air Force. you know, retired, and we've just got some players that the military means a whole lot to, and it's been fun to, you know, see what the military has meant to our individual players, and now we need to come out and all support the Bama Salute game on Monday, and we need to show it with our play. But man, kudos to the fan base. The atmosphere last night was electric in Coleman. And we hope they'll come out and continue to support, and let's grow our fan base for women's basketball too.
Well, basketball's back. It's going to be a fun season for both the men and the women. I'm excited to see what this team will evolve into, because I got a feeling while you're pretty good right now, the best basketball for Alabama is still ahead, and that begins on Monday night against Alabama A&M. Get out there to Coleman Coliseum and support this team, and Coach, we'll be visiting again. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great Friday. Roll Tide.
All right, appreciate you. 10:13 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're live with Fridays at the Free, and got a lot of people in here just waiting for 11 o'clock when they can have lunch. Why don't you come and join us, kick off the football weekend early here at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard. All right, we've got a segment coming up, first time in a while. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment. We've also got some of our top callers right here in the...
Generators. True South Generators. Online at TrueSouthGenerators.com. That's TrueSouthGenerators.com.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another beautiful day today with a sunny sky, the high 73. Clear tonight, the low 44. For tomorrow, sunny with a high at 75. Sunday and Monday, partly sunny both days. Highs between 71 and 74. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
So I would come home low, just when things went right. Doesn't mean they were always wrong.
All right, we are back. I know we lost you there for a few minutes. I don't know how long we were down, but we are back up, and we're going to close out this final segment with Fridays at the Free, and they're about to open the doors to the public here in about 10 minutes. We've already got a nice crowd of people on hand. They're going to have lunch. You're welcome to come and join us. So let me kind of catch up in case we were down. I apologize to Brett Pritchard, too, because I know I was trying to figure out what was going on while we were talking to him. Our contest kind of got derailed, taken off the rails because of the fact that we had a situation where I didn't know if we were on or not. So, and we weren't on for a few minutes. So what we're going to do is we'll pick the contest up back next week. So sorry about that. The answer to the trivia question, if you did hear it, was the final last time that Oklahoma and Alabama played in Tuscaloosa was 2003. What was the score of that game? It was 20-13. Oklahoma was the winner on that particular Saturday, as they've kind of had Alabama's number for the last few years. But in 2003, Oklahoma won that game 20-13. So, sorry, no trivia contest today, but we do thank T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery and the University Mall, and we'll do it again next week. I am going to do my point spread predictions now that we're back up and running. And Last week I was 5-0. That put me at 50-37 on the season in the SEC, which is very good. So no line on Tennessee, Tech, and Kentucky. The rest of these games have a line. Let's run through them. Alabama and Oklahoma. Alabama's 5.5-point favorite. Since I got the Tide winning 31-20, then obviously I got the Crimson Tide covering that point spread. I think they're going to break through and play well tomorrow afternoon against the Sooners. Also, we've got South Carolina at Texas A&M. Texas A&M looks legit, man. I mean, they look to me like they're the best team in the Southeastern Conference right now. And I know Alabama's played well, Georgia's playing well, Ole Miss, but for my money right now, it'd be Texas A&M. Still, 19.5 against South Carolina. Can the Aggies cover that? I think South Carolina has got issues, in addition to not being a very good team. I just think there's a lot going on with that program right now. A lot of commentary about Lenora Sellers possibly leaving in the portal. And I think A&M is not going to, let South Carolina come in there and scare them. So I'm going to lay the 19.5. I got A&M minus the 19.5, tomorrow morning against the South Carolina Gamecocks. Arkansas at LSU. This is not a big game to many people, but it is to these two programs. This is a rivalry game. And Arkansas is getting 4.5. I think this game goes down to the wire. And Arkansas under Bobby Petrino has not won a game. But I just think right now LSU's got some issues. Arkansas's got some issues. So I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the 4.5 in this ball game. Tennessee at home against New Mexico State, laying 39.5. That's a big, big line. But Tennessee, you know, there's a little chirping going on about Josh Heupel. So, I mean, with that in mind, I think they're going to turn it on and play their best football and blow out New Mexico State. So I'm going to lay those 39.5. Ole Miss at home against Florida, laying 13.5. Interesting game. I think a lot of people are waiting to see if Lane Kiffin can finish the drill with Ole Miss and get them into the college football playoff. We know what happened last year at home against Kentucky, a stunning loss that really kept them out of the playoff. This Ole Miss team is better than Florida. Florida got it handed to them last week in Lexington as Kentucky opened up a can on the Gators. Billy Gonzalez, the interim coach, I think Florida's kind of already at the point now where they just want to get this season over with, find their new coach, and kind of start fresh. So I don't think Ole Miss slips up tomorrow at all. And, in fact, I think Ole Miss is going to wind up winning this game. Plus, there's a lot of people in Florida who would like to have Lane Kiffin as their next head coach. So I think Lane Kiffin wants to make a statement for his Ole Miss team. And just in case he has any interest in that Florida job, don't you think he wants to be able to say, hey, look at what I'm capable of doing and what I did to the Gators. So I'm going to take Ole Miss minus the 13.5. against the Florida Gators. Georgia at home laying 6.5 to Texas. I think that's quite a few points to be given this Texas team right now, which is kind of starting to hit on all cylinders finally under Arch Manning. Still, Georgia beat them twice last year. Georgia's phenomenal at home. The only team that seems to be able to beat Georgia in the SEC is Alabama. And so until Georgia proves me otherwise or Texas proves me otherwise, I'm taking Georgia here. I think this is going to be a close game, but I think Georgia's going to win and cover here against the Longhorns. So I'm going to take Georgia minus the 6.5 against Texas. And finally, Mississippi State at Missouri. You got Mississippi State catching 6.5 here. Missouri's got quarterback issues. Their top two guys are both out. A lot of promise to start the season for Mizzou. Mississippi State, meanwhile, was playing really well, losing close games, and then they got blown out at home against Georgia last week. So to me, in this game, I'm going to take the points. I don't really have a feel for it one way or the other, so why not take the points? I'll take Mississippi State plus the 6.5 here. They were able to win at Arkansas, so I'll take the Bulldogs. So again, I got A&M, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Mississippi State tomorrow for my SEC point spread predictions. And again, I do apologize for not being able to do the contest today, but we were dealing with some technical difficulties, and we're not able to get. We weren't on the air for a little while, plus Chase was busy trying to help us get back on the air, so we weren't able to take the calls for the callers that we did have. So we will, though, however, run that contest again next week. I'll be back at Innisfree for the Eastern Illinois game. All right, so that's going to wrap it up here from Fridays at the Free. Innisfree is about to open the doors at 11 a.m. And again, a reminder, they will be open tomorrow morning at 9:30. They're going to open up at 9:30 tomorrow for the homecoming parade. So football and more football, Alabama and Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. On ABC. So, Chase, appreciate your hard work back there at the station. Again, I hate we had a few technical difficulties, but we got it back up and running. Appreciate our guests, Adam Amin, Christy Curry, and Brett Pritchard. Appreciate all the folks here that showed up at Innisfree to listen to the show. We're about to have a little lunch at 11 a.m. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. A reminder to catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23. High school football playoff coverage tonight. In fact, at 5 o'clock, we're going to be live out at Tuscaloosa Academy to preview the Knights Class 2A second round game. So big, big evening ahead on WVUA 23. All right, Motley Crue is going to get us out of here with Home Sweet Home. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you again on Monday morning, and roll tide.